Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, so this is a special off-day edition of the Skate Podcast. You know, Ken Laird and I, Matt Kalman, usually record these on Tuesdays, but with the Bruins development camp wrapping up on Friday, we decided to have the first of what should be many off-day podcasts, many editions of the podcast, so to speak. And today with the prospects camp, the development camp wrapping up, thought it'd be great to have one of the utmost, foremost experts in the field of prospects in New England hockey, and Mark Diver from RinksideRhodeIsland.com, the former Pro Joe hockey aficionado, is kind enough to join me. You know him if you follow him on Twitter, at Mark Diver, D-I-V-V-E-R. You know pretty much everyone, every in and out of the New England hockey world. This guy knows what's going on. And Mark, how's it going today?
Good, Matt. Good.
Great.
Another
so
day in the rink.
Exactly. And this is usually the big day of the development camp when they scrimmage. We watch them power skate. We watch them do drills for days, and people try to say they know what the heck's going on. But in the scrimmage, you at least get to see a little more game action, game situations. Today was a little weird. They did some 4-on-4s and 3-on-3s. And I guess you were saying, and I think we all were interested to see Oscar Steen this week, and you said that maybe Oscar Steen was the guy that stood out the most. And so what stood out about him?
Well, I thought he was really good today. I think his speed is the pace he plays with is higher than a lot of the guys that were on the ice today, and that's understandable. He's played the pro game over in Europe and
sure.
Is further along than many of these prospects. I thought his speed was excellent, and he really has a nice knack around the net, I think. Not only finishing himself, but feeding other players.
Yeah, that's what kind of Jamie Langenberg said earlier in the week, talking about his ability to go to the net, his ability to get on the inside, and that's what they're looking for around here, whether he starts in Providence or somehow makes it to Boston. I mean, at the very least, he has that in his game that you can't necessarily teach that all the time.
Yeah, and not everyone is willing,
right.
as we've seen through the years. But I think he'll start in Providence.
Yeah.
You know, what do I know? But he looks like a guy that, while he adapts to the smaller rink over here, some games in Providence would do him would help him. But I'd expect him to play games in Boston at some point next year. How many, remains to be seen, depending on what the circumstances are, whether he's filling in for an injured player or whether he's just so good in Providence that they decide they got to bring him up.
And you just never know. I mean,
you don't.
We never expected to see Carson Coleman on the second line in the Stanley Cup Finals.
That's
so,
for sure.
Think these things happen and guys play their way in, right? So another guy that Jamie Langenberg actually singled out to, and I think we both kind of liked and were interested to see this week, was this Cooper Zek kid.
I'm a big Cooper Zek fan.
And why is that?
Well, seeing him play last year in Providence at the end of the season, the way he came in and was just able to just be plugged right in, right out of college, a small kid, 160 pounds, the way he plays is just fun to watch. Mm-hmm. He has a lot of swagger. Jamie, I think it was, or maybe it was Jay Leach, mentioned his courage. Boy, he took some hits in Providence at the start.
Uh-huh. I mean,
they were coming at him hard because,
yep.
Guys on the other team, their eyes light up. They see a defenseman at 160 pounds. They're just going to roll right over him. So he took some big hits, but he never took a step backwards,
yep.
And it only took a handful of games for him to figure out,
okay,
if they're coming, I got to dodge them. I got to get out of the way. But he never did it in a way that showed him backing away.
Uh-huh.
He'd make his play and then get out of the
way.
You know,
I think we saw some of that in the scrimmage today, too.
Yeah, we did. There was one time in the beginning where Steen was in on the forecheck, mm-hmm. and Zek was able to dodge him.
Right.
Made a couple of subtle little moves and get away and make a play with the puck.
Right.
I think that's plays like that are what's going to maybe move him up the ladder in Providence.
And I think just 20 years old to have that in his game already is great because we've seen so many guys and they come out of the college ranks or wherever. They're not used to the physical play as much, and they do maybe shy away from it. But clearly, if he's willing to take some hits, it's great. And I think also he has a little bit of that small guy chip on his shoulder. The thing he told me that he said when you're talking about when he came to Providence last year, he said that he told Jamie, you know, put me in a game.
Yeah.
And they did, and he said, and I knew they wouldn't take me out once I got in there. So, you know, that's the cockiness to an extent that you want. That's the attitude that Torrey Krug has always had.
He told me along the way that one of the reasons he's the player that he is because he was always like a foot shorter than everyone growing up. Now the gap's maybe 4 or 5 inches, but he's still a smaller guy, he's still got to overcome that. But, I think the Bruins did a nice job getting him under an American League contract.
Right.
I would be very surprised if, 12 months from now or sooner, he's not under an NHL deal.
Right.
So, he'll be fun to watch in Providence.
Exactly. And it'll be interesting to see, too, how what it does – effect it has on Torrey Krug and Mac Rizlik down the road here as far as with their future with the Bruins. If this kid develops, the next thing you know, you might have that the next guy coming up
Absolutely.
And you can shift parts around. So I know the first day, it's always the day where people are really curious at camp to see what these guys look like because they're first getting on the ice. Some of them are just learning. But so you had John Beecher here. It was his first day at camp. Maybe he was a little nervous. But then you have Pavel Shen. It was his second year here, and he maybe was a little confident. Those are two guys that I know stood out to you on the first day. And what did you think of those first guys, maybe starting with Beecher?
Well, I think Donnie Sweeney described his skating today as effortless.
Right.
And I think that's the perfect way to describe it. He just gets up and down the ice with ease. It looks that way.
Sure.
Obviously, he's working hard, but I think his skating, as advertised, sets him apart. And that's why they drafted him. That's why he was a first-round pick.
It sounds like he's had that since he was 10, 11 years old, too, so it's pretty good.
I saw him at playing for Salisbury, 4 or 5 years ago, and the first thing you noticed was that.
Sure.
And the kind of guy who's... there aren't many of these guys, but you can hear his skates crunching the ice.
Uh-huh.
Not everyone's like that, but with him, you could hear it. He really digs in, and that's the best part of his skill set. Now we'll see, the hockey sense part, all the rest of it. Obviously, he are things that that they hope will develop at Michigan,
and he'll play a bigger role there.
Oh,
no
question.
Yeah.
So I know some people are down on the pick, but hey, it's the 30th pick in the first round. It's not like it's a top 10 pick, so I don't have any problem with it. I think he'll be a fine player.
Yeah, it's just a matter of whether he'll be able to score enough to.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get a third line center at 30th pick, and you live with it. I mean, if you're going to hit on some second rounders like the Bruins have, these things will even out in the end.
Yeah.
I mean, a guy who's a lower round pick that might pan out is Shen. Pavel Shen from Russia, a guy I don't know too much about. I haven't spoken to him because I kind of shy away from the poor English guys, the guys with the poor English. So, what did you think of him?
Well, I liked him. Yeah. I liked him in the scrimmage today. I thought he protected the puck well. I thought he was good along the the boards. He caught my eye, I think, I don't remember him at all last year, aside from the fact that I don't think he could speak a word of English. But in the World Juniors, I thought a couple of the Russia games that I watched, he was noticeable.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like there's something there.
Sure.
And I think that continued in camp this week. He's not going to bring you out of your seat with dazzling moves, but to me he looks like a hockey player.
Yeah,
for whatever that means.
I think in the scrimmage, what stood out for me was he was strong on his skates, and like you're saying, the protection of the puck. I think there's still some more to fill out that body.
You know,
as far as the width of him, but he has the big shoulders. He has those kind of almost Lucic-like shoulders to me. And obviously, I guess the only question will be whether he ends up coming here. We've seen these Russian players, so they come and they go back quickly, or they don't come at all. And so that'll be the biggest question. But clearly, they found something there.
I could see him playing if he does come. I could see him in Providence.
Right.
Maybe not a guy who's in the lineup for all 76 games,
right.
but a guy who who you know, gets his feet wet as a, in the pro game, playing you know, three game weekends and all that. I think he'd he'd be another good prospect in Providence and a guy to keep an eye on.
Awesome. And then, so now let's just say the last thing I wanted to talk to you about, this is a burning topic that I think is not getting enough attention, especially with Don Sweeney, is the goaltending depth on this team. They didn't take a goaltender again in this draft. Don Sweeney says he's going to go into the UFA market to try and find a veteran goalie. You have Jeremy Swayman, Dan Vladar, and Kyle Kaiser.
Yep.
So these are the three goalies. We've seen them at different levels now. Vladar now a full year in Providence. Just, do you see a number one? Is there a number one goalie in there?
Right now, no.
Okay.
But I want to see I want to see Kaiser more.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And I don't know if, you know, I think that's to be determined. You know, maybe not even this year. Watching him, will that be decided? But I, you know, the way he played in the Ontario Hockey League,
right?
The way the game he's shown in rookie camp a couple times, and then playing for the U.S. and the World Juniors, you know, maybe he can get there. Mm-hmm. Maybe, but you know, he's not a Spencer Knight type of prospect.
Right.
The kid that's going to Boston College and you know looks like he'll be the next great or at least very good American goalie.
Right.
So yeah, they're a little maybe deficient in that in that category. And if you know, God forbid, Tuukka or Halak gets hurt,
right,
then they're going to need a goalie.
Sure.
who can maybe play some games.
Right.
And you know, of those three, you know, I guess Vladar would be your first pick.
Right.
You know, I'm not.
How
sure
did he come along last year?
He had some very good games,
mm-hmm.
and he had some games where he wasn't that good. His save percentage was under .900. I think it was .898. Not that that's the be all and the end all,
right.
But he had some very good games, and then he had some games where you wished you got a save or two more.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been the difference between winning and losing. The thing with him is he's still only 21 years old.
Right.
He's been here so long
exactly.
now that you forget how young he is.
Sure.
They always say goalies don't, you know, develop later, to maybe
yep.
24, 25.
Right.
Well, he's 21.
Right, and that's the problem, too, with the contracts. Now you look
yeah.
at the same market tire, the Bruins have put so much into him, and now it looks like they'll probably lose him. So that's the problem with the goalies developing later.
The thing with him is he's so big,
6'5". Yeah, right.
He's down on the ice a lot, and uses up a lot of energy getting around,
uh-huh.
going down. He's not an economy of motion guy. And there are times in by the 10-minute mark of the third period, maybe he's gassed. So, you know, maybe the other team gets a late goal,
okay.
a tying goal or a winning goal. He's got to get past that, either by, I don't think he's going to change his style at this point, but maturing in his body and being stronger.
Right.
So that he has more stamina.
Sure.
So, you know, can he do that? Well, I don't know. We'll
right.
We'll see.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll see,
and we'll find out if the Bruins do something in free agency to help this goaltending situation. It could even be a free agent, a younger free agent, maybe like a Kaiser came along to at least just, you know, kind of solidify this organization. But a lot of question marks, I would say, as far as the goaltending situation, and maybe that is on the back burner with the right wing situation, the top six forward situation at this point. But we'll see now in the next few months, which of these kids put in the work at development, you know, after development camp. This is the time you come back for training camp and you show that you've done in the work that the Bruins have assigned you. And I want to thank Mark Diver again. Mark Diver from RinksideRhodeIsland.com, formerly the Providence Journal hockey aficionado, kind of in transition right now. So follow him on Twitter at Mark Diver, and you'll see where he winds up, and at the very least between now and then you'll find out what the heck's going on in all of New England hockey. So thanks again, Mark. This has been a special edition of the Skate Podcast on the WEI Podcast Network, and Ken Laird and I will be dropping a full episode on you guys Tuesday after the Bruins make all their big moves on July 1st in free agency.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.